From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Two civil liberties groups are suing President Bush and the National Security Agency over secret wiretapping of American citizens. The groups say the eavesdropping is both illegal and unconstitutional. George Washington University law professor Paul Butler will join NPR's Farai today in just a moment to discuss these legal challenges. But first, Farai takes a look at the historical clash over how far the U.S. government can go in monitoring its citizens. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was the subject of an intense FBI campaign. The FBI's surveillance of King came under the counterintelligence program, known by its acronym COINTELPRO. The program tested the constitutional limits of law enforcement and stirred a civil liberties debate that continues today. Here's Farai Chidea.
We are tasked by Senate Resolution 21 to investigate illegal, improper, or unethical activities engaged in by intelligence agencies.
Those words could have come from today's headlines. Instead, they date from the 1970s, when Idaho Senator Frank Church led congressional hearings into whether intelligence agencies had gone too far in investigating U.S. citizens. At the core of the Church hearings was COINTELPRO, a program started by FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover in the 1950s. COINTELPRO involved not only wiretapping, but as the investigation showed, attempts to disrupt, discredit, and defame perceived political radicals. Hoover targeted few figures as relentlessly as Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. The charge? Communist influence in the civil rights movement. FBI Director Hoover.
The Communist Party of America is doing everything in its power to steal the minds and the souls and the hearts of our young people.
In August of 1963, Reverend King gathered more than a quarter of a million Americans on the Mall in Washington to champion civil rights.
Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, we are free at last!
That march spurred Hoover to action. A little more than a month later, the FBI director petitioned the Attorney General, then Robert F. Kennedy, to approve a wiretap on King's telephone. Kennedy only agreed, according to his deputy Nicholas Katzenbach, in order to protect King.
If he did not let Hoover tap King's wire, that would be used really as almost proof that King was being influenced by communism. Bobby thought if he tapped it, it would find out that he were not.
And in fact, Kennedy was right. The Church Commission found that the wiretap showed that Reverend King did not support communism and that his two associates who may have been allied with the Communist Party didn't influence King's views or his organization. But documents suggest that Hoover's campaign against King was as much personal as political, and the rift between the two men deepened in 1964.
The three civil rights workers who disappeared in Mississippi last Sunday night still have not been heard from. There is little hope that they are still alive.
After the disappearance of three freedom riders, King publicly questioned whether the FBI had done enough to safeguard the lives of civil rights activists and black citizens. An enraged Hoover then began to publicly denounce King, telling reporters that King was, quote, the most notorious liar in the country, end quote. Journalist Ronald Kessler wrote the bestseller, The Bureau, The Secret History of the FBI.
Hoover really got ticked off because King criticized the FBI. He said that the FBI has agents in the South who are segregationists, and actually that wasn't true. The FBI was, in fact, working on civil rights at the time, but that was enough to infuriate Hoover and decide that Martin Luther King was an enemy to the country.
At this point, it was all-out war between the quintessential American lawman and the preacher who made his name challenging the righteousness of American law. Others were drawn into this battle. King associate Reverend Jesse Jackson was also targeted by COINTELPRO.
When you have this feeling that the government really is watching you, you know, taps your telephone, maybe in your tax files, it has a chilling effect. It takes away your freedom. And often for leaders, none of us are perfect, it neutralizes people.
As King's fame grew, so too did the FBI's campaign to discredit him. The Bureau compiled a tape recording of Reverend King with extramarital lovers and sent him a copy, along with an anonymous note which read in part, quote, King, there is only one thing left for you to do. There is but one way out for you. You better take it before your filthy, fraudulent self is bared to the nation, end quote. King and his advisors interpreted the note as calling for him to commit suicide. Journalist Danny Schechter, a local organizer for the March on Washington, says the FBI used any means necessary to achieve their goal.
Understand that COINTELPRO was not just surveillance, it was active disruption. It was putting agents into the movement to incite rivalries, jealousy, to try to get people fighting against each other and not trusting each other.
Efforts to discredit Reverend King intensified as he began to criticize the Vietnam War. He was assassinated in Memphis on April 4, 1968. But Hoover continued the campaign to discredit the civil rights leader and his legacy. Former FBI Associate Deputy Director Oliver Buck Revell says that most agents did not know about COINTELPRO, and many disagreed with its tactics once they came to light.
Probably less than 200 people in the FBI were ever knew of or were involved in COINTELPRO, and the other 8,000 agents were, like I was, investigating organized crime and all types of, bank robberies and violent crimes. And it just seemed to me to be so out of character with the FBI that I had joined and that I believed was essential to protect the rights of American citizens.
In 1975, 3 years after Hoover's death, Senator Church held hearings that exposed COINTELPRO and spurred new domestic spying regulations. Kate Martin, director of the Center for National Security Studies.
So the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which is much in the news today, was one of the key recommendations of the Church Committee, which basically put limits on secret national security wiretaps. And that was passed in 1978.
That act, nicknamed FISA, provides the grounds for today's legal challenges to government surveillance. But FBI veteran Revell says President George W. Bush has done nothing wrong.
When the FISA statute was passed, Griffin Bell made a statement that this did not preempt the president's constitutional authority to order surveillance where it was appropriate against possible hostile organizations or nations. But as far as the constitutionality of it, I think the president will be found to have acted within the scope of his authority.
Still, former Attorney General Katzenbach sees clear parallels between COINTELPRO-era surveillance and today's legal battles.
You cannot, in our society, allow any person in the executive branch, be it the president, be it the head of the FBI, the head of the National Security Agency, to have an unsupervised power to invade the privacy of people on national security grounds.
As America faces the threat of global terror, a specter easily as menacing as communism was during the Cold War era, our society must grapple with key questions. What rights must Americans give up, if any, in order to remain safe? And who in the government, the president, the courts, or Congress, has the final say on where to draw the line? That piece was produced by NPR's Corey Turner.